Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast. It's all up in your bomb cast. Big J kills them like OJ Simpson. A quick hit the fingerless glove, don't bend. Get break quick by that big dick Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Or get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. And natural born killers, legion of skanks.
Welcome to the class.
Yeah, post Christmas show, everybody.
The day after, it's Boxing Day, folks.
The great Boxing Day.
A little bit fatter and a little bit more hungover than usual.
Did you guys see the airplane that went down?
Yes.
There's video on you on a Twitter of like a guy before the plane goes down talking, but he's just like speaking some Arabic language.
It's World Star. That was
It's on World Star.
Yeah, but I mean, it's on everything, I'm sure.
I have not I've been off my phone, so
I don't know what the guy anything. I don't know what the guy necessarily is saying in the video, but like, yeah, then the plane goes down, but 25 people survived. It is a fucking crazy thing when they show the video of that, like people coming out of that. What emotion are you going through when you get pulled out of a wreckage and you're able to like walk right away and there's like the rest of the plane is on fire and everyone's dead?
Yeah, but they're
like, have you just pop out, you go, wow, that was a lucky seat, huh?
Yeah, dude. I mean, I would assume if my plane is going down that I am
one of the casualties.
I'm dying. Like, there's like literally there's no way. Here's the video of the guy. I love how everyone is fucking unbreakable on that plane. That's what I would think. I was like, what?
I'm what are the odds that all the unbreakable people ended up on one plane?
They're all unbreakables.
No, lots of people died, I think, right?
No, I know.
Well,
yeah,
sure.
But
the 25
of them are unbreakable.
The breakable ones. All the Mr. Glasses. Yeah, those were all Mr. Glasses.
Damn.
The rest of them were unbreakables.
A dunk on them. Like, dude, you just walk past somebody, they're on fire. You're like, I'm fine.
Well, that's the best. Did you ever hear the story of Artemis Pyle, the drummer from Lynyrd Skynyrd in their heyday? The plane that went down, I believe they killed Ronnie Van Zant, the lead singer. Artemis Pyle was in that plane too. And like, he was like one, if not the only, maybe the only survivor, but he was like walking, like he walked away from the thing and it was like in a field. Basically he walked away from the accident and he like through like this farm field. And when he got to the farmhouse that was there, a young kid came out with a gun because he just didn't know what was going on. And he just saw a bloody guy with long hair, like from Lynyrd Skynyrd, like coming at him. And he like and he shot him again.
Oh no. Who is this?
Artemis Pyle, his name was. Or is. I think he's still alive. He's a drummer from Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Good.
All right, let's watch it.
Bring up the plane crash. This is there's a video on the inside too of the plane. You know what? You can really do some editing. Edit from that to the guy to that to the guy.
Looks like it's coming in for a smooth landing.
I'll be honest with you, it looked like it was going to be smoother than it went.
Everything's fine.
It's funny because like once they're on ground, you're like, oh, okay, wow, that could have went worse. And then it explodes.
What do you think they're saying?
I mean, these people just coming out and stuff, like just like in regular street clothes, like wow, that was nuts, huh?
Are they discussing a sandwich order? This sounds exactly what my guy at my deli sounds like. Are they all discussing sandwich orders right now, guys?
Jesus Christ.
Is there only one dead?
No. I think there's more. At least 38 people were killed.
Yeah, I think there's a bunch dead and a bunch injured, but some people just walked out.
Yeah, pull up the video on the inside of the plane. Oh, you have them both. Good job. Good job, G. Mike. I didn't think you'd be able to do that in real time. Two eggs, salt, pepper, ketchup. Yes. love those the bell to put your seatbelt on comes on.
I know, like the pleasant little marker.
Bing bong.
I know, because before the announcement goes bing bong.
Put your head by your knees, we're all gonna die.
A word from your captain.
Oh,
tease it, tease it, tease it.
Wow.
That is sad. Was it on Christmas Day?
No.
Christmas Eve, maybe?
Maybe Christmas Eve. I saw the video yesterday.
I mean, if that's not proof that Jesus is real, what is?
Did you see the Artemis Pyle thing? I was saying there's no video or anything of it, but just like the idea that I'm pretty sure I'm right. And then like the son of this farmer like shot the guy like in the shoulder. So he survived the plane crash and got shot minutes later.
That sucks.
You need to be like, I'm from Leonard Skinner. But also, can you imagine that living like in a fucking rural like place like that? And then like a bloody fucking guy. I don't even know what Artemis Pyle looks like, but like just a bloody guy, like hippie guy comes walking out of the distance.
I know what he looks like. He's not black.
I know he wasn't black.
Well, I had no idea. A name like Artemis Pyle.
Such a weird name. I think he died owing Artie Lang $5,000. He crawled through a field, the creek to a farmhouse to get help. He was mistaken for an escaped convict and shot by the farmer. Yeah.
Oh, dude, that sucks.
Oh, they thought he was a free bird?
Nice. Artemis Pyle.
Hey, man, I just survived a plane crash.
Yeah, it was funny. He was on Howard Stern one time telling the story, and I think him and Artie Lang became like friendly, and I guess in some way he needed some money. And Artie Lang loaned him $5,000. This is like an original member of Leonard Skinner owes you $5,000 for the rest of his life.
And never paid it back?
And never paid it back, I don't think.
Oh, that cocksucker.
It's all right. It's Artemis Pyle.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking wild, dude. Plane, that's like one of my biggest fears is plane crash. So I just fly so much. It's one of my only like, it's just a game of numbers. If you fly for a living, I am way more likely to die in a plane crash than the average human being.
Oh, by
100 times over,
by leaps and bounds. Yeah.
Well, by how many times more you fly? I mean,
what
is
the average? The average. What? Look that up. What does the average American fly every year? Once or twice? Probably twice, right?
Two trips before planes, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you got to figure there's so many people
like there.
Maybe the average is even more because there's so many people that travel for work. There are people that commute like the same way you would commute from Jersey to New York City. There are people that fly every day. You know, like that?
Boston, yeah, Boston, New York type shit.
Yeah, that's just their job. They go to the airport every single day and they commute to work every day.
Well, I know that like Amtrak, like the New York to DC is like filled with commuters. If you're ever on that train, it's filled with commuters. And there's also a flight. So I'm sure there's lots of people who just rather than do the Amtrak every day, which probably the price is probably comparable to a flight.
I would rather do Amtrak. But for
Has anybody tried Uber helicopter yet?
No. But it's a real thing. It's a real thing.
Is that a real thing?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Anybody ever tried? Because I know there's also like I don't know if it's Uber one, but there's just like a service like right by me by the West Side Highway. It's just like a $200 helicopter.
Dude, I would treat my Uber helicopter drivers the same way I treat Uber drivers.
Calling us. Sorry, guys, it's going to be 10 minutes late because fuckface doesn't understand airspace.
Dude, oh my God. I'm like, are you talking to me? You fucking ass. Dude, he's trying to talk to you in your headset. I take it off. I was like, this guy won't stop trying to talk to me. Oh, fuck.
Look at the sky, sir, not me.
Dude, that'd be fucking hilarious. Fucking, I mean, how do you become an Uber helicopter driver? That's a wild, that is a fall from grace. Nobody thought they were going to Uber, they were going to helicopter school to become an Uber helicopter driver.
Yeah, dude, I'm a fucking helicopter taxi. What an awful thing. But yeah, I think it's like $200, you can go right to JFK or something.
It's usually to the airports, right? That's kind of the way to do it.
5 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but helicopter rides too, that's scary as fuck. I did that with James in Vegas. And that was, it's super scary.
I only did it. Dave, were you there for that? The day they filmed me at the piers over there for Z-Rock? You might not have been there on that one. But
I don't recall it.
They just filmed me two times. Like the guy took me up. We just did a circle and like, because they just needed a scene of me getting out of a helicopter when it landed. So we just go up and do this like super like like it's turning this way turn. And yeah, I thought it was real scary.
Yeah, when we did the
I'm afraid every time I get on a plane. I mean, I'm numb to it, I guess. That I just get on my plane and kind of sit down, but I mean like every time it's like a rocky takeoff, the turbulence lasts for like minutes. I'm always like aware. I hate it. I still
I don't
it.
I used to be much more scared of flying. It took me years to get much better. I still don't like it, but I am not getting on a helicopter. There's
you wouldn't
just
get on
no
a helicopter
need.
Ever.
I just I mean I'm not saying like I would never, but I don't see any
some
need
sand
to do it
safer than driving.
I'm sure, like
10 times you're 10 times more likely to die in a car.
Dave, yes, like awesome. I'm sure that you believe the Jews who made up that statistic. I'm just saying that there's no need for me to do it. I'm not going to enjoy it. And I just don't see any. Why would I put myself in something
I'm
that
thinking,
I'm just going to hate?
You and Layla should just take the helicopter.
Their basketball.
Out head out to the Calabasas girls basketball thing.
Well, let's think she's not even on the team just to catch a game. Oh, these gals can ball.
We flew to LA, took a helicopter to Calabasas on a foggy day.
Well, that's the thing. Like when there's like bad conditions, which they warned them of, which is fucking crazy. That would be something. I mean, I did it with James in Vegas. It was genuinely awesome. It was an incredible experience going through the Grand Canyon, like just, and it's also like a completely glass front. So it's like, you're really looking down, and it did give me anxiety, but it wasn't as scary.
Park.
It wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be fucking, you know, really nerve wracking. But once you kind of get in it, like these helicopters are, you know, this is literally what they do. You know, I think,
Dad, where's the Grand Canyon?
There. It's all like all the things that are kind of like thrilling. I'm done with those things. And I don't even know what is the likelihood of you, like when you go skydiving, what's the likelihood of the parachute not opening? It's probably very unlikely. You're probably more likely.
I think it's extremely unlikely, but I think you also have like fail safes too in a couple different ways. However, it's funny watching you guys say it again. Cause like I just had kids so much longer ago than you guys. That it is such a funny thing, like the immediate idea of those things, like skydiving. It was like, it's not so much that I'm afraid. I mean, I am afraid to do it, but like, you know, I could definitely be talked into it, I'm sure, in some way. But it's just like, in my mind, I was like, the risk versus reward for now I have to worry about Isabella. You know what I mean? So it's like doing, I also felt about that when everybody was going over to, where were they going, Afghanistan or whatever, doing comedy. And stuff like that when they were going like the active war like zones and doing right. I was just like I got offered it once and I was like I can't, man. I can't go. And
it's
they did take mortar fire before,
part of it is like, look, like even if you're more likely to die in a car crash, if I die in a car crash and now my kids have to live life without a father, it's kind of like, at least I feel like,
also they have to live with the embarrassment. They have to live in the embarrassment that you were in the passenger seat.
Well, that's something they have to deal with no matter what. That's worse if I live. But like if I go bungee jumping and die, then it's always just like, oh, you asshole, you left your kids. Like you did this crazy risky thing for the thrill of it. Like, yeah, but you're tempting death. I don't know. Like, it just feels like.
That's why I won't. I don't think I'll ever do coke again in my entire life. It's
good. I was actually just use that example. I was like, well, through like having children, though, you did like pretty hard drugs.
Me or Lewis?
Not well.
Certainly.
I mean, I
think Lewis. Yeah.
No, I mean, I literally stopped all that shit after having kids, literally just for that reason. That when I'm like, my son what if some an emergency happens and I'm all whacked out, or what if fucking something happens to me? It's enough that I won't enjoy the experience anymore. So fuck it.
Yeah, I don't think it was well into having kids. I think me and his mother broke up, and I was trying to kill myself with drugs. That's literally what happened. But yeah, I mean, I stopped doing coke. I mean, at this point, I mean, the Kurt Metzger thing was me
on
Adderall.
For the record, anybody who's like hardcore fans of the show, which Friday Night Hang, I guess all of you are, you know that in 3 months we might figure out that this is when Lewis was at the height of his coke use. And he goes, remember when I told you guys I hadn't been using coke for years? I was such a cokehead at that time.
That is what you and Kurt both share. You're always off something else, but it turns out this was the bad times.
I think it was when I almost fought Kurt at the Comedy Store. That was, I was on Adderall and I was already off cocaine.
Mellowed you out.
Yeah, well, I wasn't. I mean,
so oblivious to it.
It was when I was with Karen Feehan. That's when I was on Cook. Yeah, so however long ago that was.
So funny. I'm so oblivious to it all. All those things. I've never seen you do coke. I've never seen you have.
No, because I would hide it from everyone. I didn't do coke in a fun party way. I did coke by myself in a bathroom and hiding from everyone and jittering.
No, I've been around situations where you did like socially.
It's very rare. I mean, the amount of times that I was like, nobody ever knew I was just doing coke. Like maybe my closest friends, like, you know, or the one guy I was like, me and Nick Mullen would go to the bathroom and not talk to each other and just do coke. That was like three or four times I have memories of me and Nick Mullen in a bathroom, just not saying anything, just doing coke and looking at each other.
So funny. I had no idea Nick Mullen did coke.
Yeah, no, it was bad, dude. It was like, I didn't do coke in a fun, cool way. I had no money. So it wasn't like I'm glad I didn't do coke when I had money, because it would have been a fucking real problem. I would spend the last $80 on a gram of coke.
So funny.
Yeah, this gross. This is pre-Gas Digital, I'm not fucking. But yeah, the reason I would never do it again is because, like, God forbid you get a fucking bad batch. I'm not even, it's not a moral thing. Like, we all fucking take whatever, Molly, coke, but.
Oh, no, morals, nothing to do with it.
Yeah, like, I'm just not into fucking. Number one, I'm not into the feeling. I don't want to feel like shit the next day. But number two, God forbid I fucking die. Imagine that, dude. That sucks. Your dad died of a fucking drug overdose.
Also, yeah, especially
it's just not the same as like your dad got in a car crash or something like that. It's just a different thing.
But it is better than your dad died bungee jumping, you fucking loser.
But there is something
I agree with that. It's car crash, got some bad coke, and then bungee jumping way down at the bottom.
No, there's something too. Also, it's funny, like having the story, like the stupidity of saying, like, if I had some long recurring like drug issue, do you know what I mean? And like your kid deal, and then like you eventually die. I don't know. There's something like a story arc to that. The lamest thing for me always felt to be like, I don't even do drugs like that. You know what I mean?
And then it's
like, okay, I try coke because everyone's like, come on, we're doing some coke, and then I die from. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what I feel like was going to be so fucking like hard to process.
When I was
also, I feel like no one ever
thing though. You know what I'm saying? Like fentanyl was, you know, that wasn't a conversation ever. Like I never tested my coke or even had a worry for one second that it was going to be a bad batch of coke. I was like trying to do as much coke as possible very often. And I
yeah,
like,
when did that happen? When
Lewis was like trying to find the fentanyl.
Where now it's like, don't be. Well, I said there was a time, like, I thought the concern always with cocaine, I thought particularly, was that it was more that, not that it was going to be killer fentanyl, but that it was going to be useless, like baby laxative or baby, you know what I mean?
Yeah, fake coke. I bought fake coke in Amsterdam when I was like 22. And we looked at it. We're like, this is the consistency of salt. Me and my buddy Gene Kelly, Gene from the airport, and Dan Doherty, we were like, this is the consistency of salt. It was like, this is not coke. And you know what we did? We all still tried it. Every one of us, even after one of us went, oh, that's crazy. It was like, no, let me try, dude. Your nose isn't right, dude. We literally all tried it, knowing that it was definitely not coke. Surinamian gave us table salt in a napkin.
The crew pulled up interesting facts here. To go back to our flying thing, it was two and a half flights a year is the average American. But this is crazier. 80% of Americans don't fly at all. And it is amazing how many people I've met. I'd say that recently I've had come. I don't know why they've come up, but I've recently had people that have been like, I've never been on a plane, which I find very interesting.
What was your first flight like ever? Comics.
Oh, it was as a kid for sure to Florida, probably.
I think that was mine too.
Everyone's first flight is to Florida.
Yeah,
from New York. If you're a New Yorker, I wonder what that. I mean, we're never gonna be able to figure out that stat, but like, I bet you the very large percentage of people, their first flight is New York to Florida. If you're a New Yorker,
well, East Coast, I would say Northeast, probably in general. The idea is it's because it's Disney World. What's gonna happen?
Yeah, that's what I did. But I was 19. I was a fat 19-year-old.
I just had family down there, so I was flying to see the family.
And you know who else was on that flight?
Pink.
Artemis Gannard.
Artemis Pyle.
Artemis Pyle.
Pyle.
Artemis Prime. Artemis Prime.
he's from the Transformers.
yeah, he's from, I don't remember the name of the place they're from. Cybertron.
Yeah, dude, I went to Florida, the couple, it was like a couple's trip, and Claudio from Coheed and Cambria was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Good eye, sniper. What was the other thing I was seeing?
Yeah,
there's another fact. Oh, and the other with the skydiving. 1 in 1,000, the initial chute doesn't open. 1 in 1,000,000 chance that the backup.
So there's actually a decent chance the initial chute doesn't open. It's not that crazy.
That's 1 in 1,000 That crazy.
If somebody said that's your odds for something, I'd be like, dude, there's a fucking real shot, dude. If it was like a good thing, like winning the lotto, it was a 1 in 1,000, like, dude, this could be it. Just 1 in 1,000. Ever somebody's got to win.
1,000 jumps seems like that happens around the country like in a day.
Well, also, like, just it's the risk itself. It's not just the risk. It's the risk with how unnecessary the activity is. Because it's not like they're saying, like, you know, it's not like it's like, hey, listen, there's a 1 in 1,000 chance you die if you ever leave your house. And you'd be like, okay, well, I can't stay in my house for the rest of my life. I have to live a life. But this is just one specific thing that you're just like, if there was just a, if there was like just 1,000 jelly beans in a dish and you were like, one of them's made of pure shit, you'd just be like, okay, I'm just not going to eat them then. Because, like, I don't need to. It's not like your life doesn't depend on it.
Dave, you could just smell them all and see which one's the shit, you idiot.
Dave's never had a sugar addiction. Me and Jay are like,
you guys are
going
to find a way to eat jelly beans.
Jelly beans every day.
Goes, buddy, I mean, like, only the beans.
100.
Only the fucking 5 or 6 beans it's touching are the problem.
Yeah.
Like, you just do the math. You're like, so if I eat 100 jelly beans, there's only a 1% shot.
No, you all dig right out the turd one. Think, Dave. Think.
Let's see. 53% of New Yorkers go to Florida for their first flight. Yeah, that is interesting. I figured it was just very, very common. Yeah, but yeah.
Well, there's not much other anything else that you would like go to. You figure like the Busch Gardens and stuff like that. Because usually that's what people be traveling for, was like amusement park or destination shit like that. You could drive to most of those things, like right around when you got to anything Atlanta, but no one was like going to Atlanta for like, you know, anything. You'd go right to Florida. Florida was the place to go.
We wouldn't. Yeah. My mom didn't have enough money ever to buy a single airline. I don't think my mom ever flew in her life. Maybe when she was a little girl, I think she did actually.
But Niagara Falls, Grand Canyon, stuff like that. That was always a family destination. I never did any of those things.
No.
No, never did any of those.
I
did
saw
Disney World.
I saw Mount Rushmore when I was on Mayhem Fest tour for the only time. And Grand
who's
Canyon,
the who's the Mount who's the Mount Rushmore of Mayhem Fest style bands?
let's see, Edema.
yeah, fucking. Oh, also, and we gotta talk about this. I don't know if we're gonna stay on the skydiving topic, but the fucking homeless lady that was set on fire. I don't have has Oof. Any of us discussed this on anything?
No, I haven't.
What?
You don't, oh, wait, you didn't see that, Jay?
What?
No,
Jay, you don't know what I'm talking. That's impossible.
There's okay. video of this shit.
A homeless guy, a Guatemalan immigrant.
Dude, I mean,
set another
and
Jay on fire.
I just can't describe to you. It's out of Naked Gun 33 1/3. And there's a cop walking by going, nothing to see here. Everybody just calm down. While a woman is burning to death behind him. Doesn't even pretend. The cop doesn't even pretend to like take his jacket off and fan it or something.
No,
the
immigrant. Look. By the way, the video, and we'll pull the video in a second.
Fan it.
The guy who did it is on video. Fanning the flames with his jacket.
Oh, it's nice. He's making a fire.
Yeah, no, that's what he was doing. No, it was the guy who did it. He was fanning it to make it bigger.
Yeah. No, I'm agreeing and laughing with you. Whatchamacallit, I've seen the story of it. I said that he's like an immigrant. He was kicked out, right? And he came back. He was already deported and he came back in.
I'm not sure if that's right. I've heard it was an illegal immigrant, but I didn't know that.
That's so funny. Everyone's really focusing on the illegal immigrant portion of this. And I'm like, that's just so, it's so far, so far. Everyone politicizes things, but it's so far down in the importance of this story. Like
I've been focusing on the cop not doing a damn thing.
The cop not doing a thing is fucking nuts. The fact that anybody would just set another human being on fire is insane. It's like a crazy homeless person thing more than an immigrant thing. I don't think immigrants are regularly doing this to people.
Nah, it's a big problem.
Why are they not moving?
This person? Well, apparently, yeah. I pause it for a second. I read a thing I read a thing. Somebody like broke down why this person's not moving.
Her wig is so thick; she doesn't even know she's on fire.
I think she's already dead, and this is just like her muscles and tendons tightening up, and she's like literally like her blood and the liquids and the fat in her body are boiling. Like she's not. They're like, why isn't she screaming? Why is she just standing there? Now, I don't think that this cop knows that. I think this cop is going, oh, this is a, like, literally put your jacket over her. At the very least, why don't you take your
she just reached out. She just reached down to grab something. So that's not, that wasn't muscle.
Wait, Ryan, do it again. Or, you know, I think it's just her body, like, I mean, I think she's very much dead already.
I mean, it would make more sense. That's what I mean right there. She kind of swings her arm to the side.
Yeah, I think she's having, like,
right here.
Yeah, but it's not clear if that's actually
I know.
She's like, oh, I dropped my Metro card.
It would make much more sense that she's dead with her reaction or she's fucking
I dropped my Metro card. You go, ooh, that was a monthly.
Must get it.
I mean, that's like so what a it's the number one most painful way to die is burning alive. And people are just like, well, at the amount of people that ran, is that a real video too? Like people running off the subway car? There was like a packed subway car.
Wouldn't you feel like even if you weren't...
Is that a fact? Burning alive is the
most... That's him. This is the immigrant.
That's the guy who did it?
Yes.
No. That's not muscles just twitching, dude.
This is what somebody said, and it made the most sense.
She just stepped backwards.
She is doing the moonwalk. It's crazy that she's...
Why are they just letting him do that?
Pull out your wieners. Pull out your wieners.
But I can't believe that the cop doesn't feel like he at least has to pretend. Like I would understand kind of half-assing it, not really. You know what I mean? But like kind
Take
of trying to
off.
Put his jacket
Take
over
jacket
her or
off,
something.
Her.
Yeah, like there's he's not even like the fact that they don't even feel an obligation to like look like you're trying to help.
Let me tell you something, young fella. You must have a hard time reading. You see, this says policeman. What you're looking for is a fireman. Now, I can only police the situation. Fireman ain't here.
Because if you'd like me to shoot her, I'm happy to.
I could put her down, take her out of misery. It would have been we better... let the fireman get here, and he let the professional handle it.
Better way to handle it would have been fucking shooting her in the head and just being like, yo.
Put her down.
Put her down, dude. Jesus Christ, dude. Zepeda was deported in 2018 and got back in somehow. Lived in a homeless shelter. In shitty East New York. Yeah. But honestly, nobody's asking what she did.
And she was homeless also?
No. What if it turns out what she did was she deported that guy back in 2018? He came back to find the chick.
What if that was just like that's part of their routine they do on the subway? She goes, all right, y'all. Now, if I have y'all attention, I am out here trying to earn a little money doing my talent. Now, Human Torch, flame on.
It's wild. That's fucking
it's insane.
I genuinely feel like if I was in a subway car and somebody got lit on fire and I had a jacket on, I would take my jacket off and put it over their flaming body every time.
I like to think so.
Depends on the jacket.
Yeah. How nice is this jacket? I mean, what are we talking about here?
What if it makes it worse? It's an extremely flammable jacket. Like, oh, whoa.
Yeah, it melts to her body and hurts.
Why was I wearing my gasoline bomber jacket today? Of all days.
Well, people like they love to politicize. They're like, oh, it's the Daniel Penny thing that, you know, if you get involved, that's why nobody got involved. You're like, guys, nobody's thinking political in this moment. Everyone's freaking out. What's happening
also
in that moment?
Daniel,
is people are
the Daniel
running.
Penny thing is totally different. It's not like you're that's one thing to say, like, oh, I don't want to that might be reasonable if the next day you had like a crazy homeless person like threatening people. And then there was like some big jack dude who just didn't want to like take him down or something, be like, he's worried about getting it. But this isn't like you're putting someone in a chokehold. This is just a person on fire in front of you.
Well, this guy's also is a Mexican with a bottle of lighter fluid and a lighter. So you have to get through that as well. Technically, if you start attacking this guy, he can light you on fire. People that fucking run in that situation, dude, it's like a reaction. I remember I've probably told this before on the show, but probably back in the day when I was selling comedy club tickets, it was a woman who fell like on the ice in front of like an older woman at Madison Square Garden, and she fell and just busted her face open on the floor, and she was just bleeding everywhere. And I was just like, nope. And I just fucking walked in the opposite direction because I just couldn't see the blood. I couldn't do anything. People were helping
also,
her or whatever.
Lewis had pushed her, which is an important part of the story.
Bitch should have bought my tickets.
Spin kick.
But like people have whatever reaction they have. It's the people that are standing there videotaping it is bonkers.
That's
like,
crazy.
If you run
me,
because you're like, yo, there's a person lighting people on fire. My instincts to survive kick in. I just fucking run. Or you can't watch it. It's just like something so crazy. You're like, I can't. That's like I'm watching a person being burned alive. That's something that's going to burn into my head, you know, no pun intended, for the rest of my life. I kind of understand that. But I don't know how many people were like sitting there going like, you know what? I would help. But Daniel Penny, dude, yeah, I'm not going to do it. Or it's just, yeah, it's just, I don't think
like
that's
the smarminess
thing.
Of that.
Like, yeah. Again, I'm not even saying that like something I'm not saying that could have an effect on somebody, like seeing somebody get charged with manslaughter and then having to go through trial and all of that. I could see where there would be a scenario where someone might think that and go, I'm a little hesitant to intervene. I just don't buy that this was that scenario.
Yeah, not on fire.
Like this is just such a different thing. Yeah, it's like a. But I do. I 100% agree with Lewis. I totally understand. I would say with you, Lewis, I've definitely, there's been a few situations where we've like intervened, where we saw something going down. I don't know if I would ever say, I don't think I've ever put myself in like real danger in my estimation to do so. You know what I mean? Like,
but, I guess the most basic level that anyone could be a lunatic with a gun, but.
Sure. Right. Sure. But I guess I never really felt like, oh, shit, this could get really bad. It was usually like one guy being aggressive with a girl and me and Lewis coming to intervene where like if shit went down, there was two of us and one of him. Yeah. It wasn't like
and if shit went really down, we would just change sides like pro wrestling. Like, no, we're on your side the whole time. Get her.
Oh, my God. Lewis threw Dave through the glass window. Like whatever. There's things. But like I can relate. It was also before I had kids. I might have a different feeling of like, and my obligation is to get home safe to my family, not like risk my safety for someone else. I don't hold anything against them. But to pull out your phone and just sit there videotaping like a horror unfolding is bonkers to me. I cannot understand that.
I know. It's like a concert. Watch it with your eyes, man. You could tell the story. remember how you want to remember
experience
man.
This
what people
that's the problem
it
goes
about.
Everyone's so in their phones, that's the real message here.
what we're failing to recognize is this was a homeless person that he lit on fire, so maybe the smell was so bad once you lit that homeless person on fire that people
possibly
were just
thought of that dude, she's made entirely of fart.
Yeah, dude, and you don't want to breathe those fumes in. They say breathing a candle in is carcinogenic. Could you imagine homeless flesh?
Oh, yeah. She's so full of toxins that you're right. Everyone had to get away because she might explode.
Oh, she was black. Maybe they thought she was already burnt to a crisp and they're like, we can't help her now.
He goes, sir, just my feet are on fire. He goes, it's already burned her face down to the skeleton. No, I'm very much alive. It's hitting my knees now. There's plenty of time to stop this. Why are you letting this boy fan?
She's already dead. Her vocal cords are being fried. That's why they're making those noises.
Oh, man. That's just her vocal cords are exploding. So they're just like sounds are coming out. This perfect English. Woo, it's hot.
Dude, it's fucking, yeah, it's pretty fucking twisted.
Oh, yeah.
They want to humanize her.
Fuck the subways in general.
I haven't been on a subway since before the pandemic.
Me either.
I went on once at the very beginning of the pandemic. It was last time. I was on the subway so many times in my life before then. Yeah. It's almost like weird how much I went from being on the subways all the time my entire life to not for the last 4 years ever being.
I believe you can Apple Pay under the subway now. I haven't been since they've created that technology. I haven't been on the subway. You had to buy a Metro card the last time I was on the subway.
Yeah, you can do it right. You can do it right from your phone now. But whatchamacallit, Bobby takes it constantly, and
he's just happy he can fit through the turnstile. He's just trying to make up for lost time.
He's just showing off down there. He doesn't have anywhere to go.
But he's had situation things have pop up in the time he's been on Bonfire several times. I'm like, dude, take an Uber, man.
Yeah, you're fine. You don't need to do this.
His thing's the speed of it, and he has to get down to the cellar really fast on Tuesdays.
I mean, literally, if you're at SiriusXM to get to the cellar, you're there in 8 minutes flat versus spending $40 and 30 minutes in traffic. I if that was my route, I probably would, to be honest. I understand why.
No, I'm just like saying, like, line yourself up differently. It seems like such a worthless, or not worthless is the wrong word. I mean, it's a good mode of travel, but I mean, like, it's just unpoliced. It's unchecked.
So he has to get down there for his other podcast or to do a spot?
To do his show. He's got his, he does a residency every Tuesday at the cellar.
Yeah, it's just,
yeah,
it's,
I mean, I would just change that schedule.
This no, I get it. The Sixth Avenue line
started at 8.
I'm too impatient. I like the Sixth Avenue line. Like, literally, you're talking about, what is it? So it goes from 50th Street, 42nd, 34th, 23rd, 14th,
4th,
and 4th Street. You're talking about six stops, less than 10 minutes. I mean, basically door to door. I 100% would take the subway if that was my route.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I would have to
change my schedule so that it wasn't so appealing to take the subway. I'd be like, that's why I'm going to have to come down at a different time.
I don't want to get set on fire.
We should do an episode from the subway coming up
at 2 a.m. Really go. Let's go at the prime hour of problems. 3 a.m., 4 a.m.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like, just the shit that you, like, just as a young person, a young poor person in New York City, would just like deal with. It's just.
Being from Philly, man, it was such a different thing for me that I really never, ever got used to it and very rarely ever did it. Even when I lived where we all lived in Queens, Middle Village that time, mm-hmm. when we were there, when I was in Astoria a few times, like coming home late night on the subway, I never got over the terrifying fear of that.
But that's less convenient even, right? So late at night on the subway to go from the cellar to Queens, it is substantially faster to jump in a cab. So that's almost like justified. Like, I don't want to, because you're going to sometimes at night, late at night, and this is back in the day, you understand? When I moved to New York City, not only like there's so, I'm even assuming like there's subway apps now, when you know exactly when the train's coming.
I'm sure
they put in those timers now where, you know, in every station where it's like the subway's 2 minutes away.
There was none of that.
I came to New York City in the year 2001,
you literally
would sit there and there's no Wi-Fi. There's nothing to scroll on your phone. You would simply go and sit on a platform, and it could be 10 minutes. It could be 2 minutes. It could be 45 minutes. There might be a broken down subway in a station ahead of you. There's no communicating that. There's no nothing. You're just waiting in the cold, in the dark with homeless. It's fucking New York was a very tough place, even in not the 80s. Like, you're talking about like the early 2000s. New York was just like a tougher place to deal with.
Yeah, it was, you know, there's
tougher to deal with. I don't know if it was
crime actually, I believe, peaked in the early 90s and then started falling like every year. But like, it was still coming down. So the New York got safer and safer and safer all the way up to the pandemic. It was just getting safer. But you were still, when Lewis came here, it was still not that much different than the 90s. Like, it was better, but it wasn't that much better. And back then, there was an old Saturday Night Live sketch when I was like a kid, which I thought was so funny, with Ellen Cleghorn. Was that her name, Jay? Mm-hmm.
Ellen Cleghorn. Right? There's a handful of people that didn't get super famous off of being on SNL, and she was
great on it. She was really funny on the show, but never like blew up and did movies and shit like that.
She had her own sitcom for a while. It didn't go well.
Maybe, yeah, it just didn't. It didn't hit. But they did this sketch where you would. It was like you were on the subway and all the announcements were like, and then they cut to the conductors, and that's just how all the conductors talked. Like, it wasn't the sound system was the joke of the whole thing. Yeah. But it was so funny at the time because that's what you would deal with. You would just sit on the train. It might be stalled for 45 minutes and all you could get was an announcement that you could not understand. It would just be like,
transfer.
Yeah, like, and you would just be there. And every single night doing stand-up comedy for many years, me and Lewis were just poor kids who lived in random, you know, moved a whole bunch of times and lived around. Every night at 3 a.m, you were on the subway. And if you caught a bad night, it might just be hours of just before you got home, just waiting there. And it was sketchy.
And then sometimes you'd fall asleep and miss your stop. Dude, I did this twice once. I fell asleep. I missed my stop, took the train back, fell asleep again, missed it again. You want to see Luis J. Gomez angry? If you want to see a person fucking just yelling at the air and God, just punching the air because the anger that I fucking woke up when I missed the stop again, the second
you'd
time.
You'd be out in Coney Island or some shit.
Doggy, the second time, dude. I literally woke up as the doors were closing on the stop. And you're like, no.
I on one time that happened to me, I was Long Island Railroad though, which was, so it wasn't dangerous at all, but just like not knowing anything about anywhere, you know, in New York. So it's like I went like to the last stop and I just didn't have any idea the geography of it or anything. I just got out, it was like 4 a.m. and I'm just in some weird place in Long Island. It wasn't even, it was scary or anything, it was just like, was like
you don't know what the first to get home, you don't,
this is an Uber, no Uber, there's no like yellow cabs out there, so I'm just in another neighborhood in Long Island. It's like I don't know what to do.
It's just like I'm just tired and cold and alone.
I guess I just live here now. Oh, it's almost like if you ever gone, Jay, you don't really travel internationally that much. But if you like ever go to like the airport in Greece or in Italy, mm-hmm. it kind of felt like that. Like when I get there and you settle in, you have to remind yourself that these are, it's like it is 2024. This is like they do sort of make it fairly intuitive. And once you kind of give yourself to it, it actually isn't hard to get around in a foreign country. Like I've been to enough foreign countries at this point that like, you know, whatever it is, you just, signs are kind of signs. You can kind of like get a feel for it. But like when you first get to like Italy and I'm looking at the signs and everything's in Italian, you're like, dude, I don't know what the fuck to do right now. You got to hold it together because your kid's there looking up at you and be like, dad, you're in charge of everything. You got this, right? And like in my head, I'm spiraling. Like, I'm going like,
yes,
I don't
James,
know.
I got this. C'est le plus a la grande. Goes,
what does that mean? He goes, spanakopita, moussaka.
The airport in Italy
and this
reads like
grape leaves.
All the signs read like a menu in a fancy coffee place. What is this?
This is the venti.
Oh my god. Yeah, dude, fucking. But yeah, that whole thing on the subway, just watching people, I really would like to think that if somebody set somebody on fire like that, I'd help. But once again, you're in the moment, dude. Like this guy's like, actually, give me more details on this, G Mike or Alex, because I saw the video. I've sort of read the story, but I didn't really do any research at all as to what happened. Did he like take lighter fluid and douse her in it first while she was sleeping?
If somebody has lighter fluid and the lighter on them still and they're threatening with it, that could be a reason not to get too involved.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, I kind of understand.
I can understand that.
You're just like, it's some fucking little Mexican dude being like.
Well, I'm saying if you like to go try to stop him and he just like, he's here you go and just squirts it in your face.
Use a lighter to ignite her clothing. What? Whoa. Oh, so he didn't use lighter fluid. He just lit her. There was a funny prank gone wrong, it seems.
That's hilarious.
There's no way I would assume that.
He was just trying to give her a hot foot. You see, Your Honor, oh, you trying to give her a hot foot? No, she was my friend and she
I put
fell
a matchstick in between her toes.
She fell asleep, so I tried to give her a hot foot like Tom and Jerry. One time I saw this on Tom and Jerry. The woman was described
as possibly having mobility issues as a walker was found near her. She also noted to have a lot of fabric around her, which might have contributed to how quickly the fire was spread.
She was surrounded by liquor bottles, though it's unclear if they had played a role in the incident. So it wasn't lighter fluid at all.
Well, we all figured this out. You know, the regular liquor just doesn't light on fire. Was I with you guys recently on Skanks where I went to light myself on fire?
Oh yeah, the hand.
This does sound familiar.
Yeah.
You have Bacardi 151. It has to be above a certain proof of alcohol.
Yeah.
And if this bitch was Bodega Cat, it was Mark Norman's whiskey.
No alcohol in it. That's the secret. There's no alcohol. Yeah. The victim was in a seated position at the end of the train car when she was set on fire. The department's
Joseph Gulotta. Well, he's Italian.
They don't believe the suspect.
She was in a seated position.
the suspect and victim, they don't believe they knew each other at all and did not interact before, during the incident. Now, I gotta say, you're talking just a lighter. That definitely intervene. I definitely would intervene in that.
Imagine running away from a man with a lighter, you pussy.
Well, I don't think it's the thing with the man with a lighter. Like, he lit her clothes on fire, and then, like, well, there's just, like, I'm not even saying, forget even like tackling him or worrying about him. I'm just saying, like, this seems like a situation like you can get involved in the fire. The only reason I was suggesting not getting involved in helping stamp out this fire is that the guy's got lighter fluid, so he's just going to keep spraying the light. You know what I mean? Now you're on fire too, that quick. If it's a lighter and there's nothing to do with lighter fluid, I would think I would definitely try to help.
100%, dude. Or at the very least, I would yell, stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah. Now, maybe not at the expense of my sick jacket.
Yeah, I mean,
her clothes were really, I was like, what the fuck were her clothes made out of?
Yeah.
Wick. She goes, I bought all these hemp clothes. Woody Harrelson said it was good.
Look at my kerosene hat.
Y'all ain't good. Y'all think Woody Harrelson ain't got no point?
Oh my God, dude. This fucking woman. What an awful way to go. But honestly, I also feel like they should do that.
Made out of firecrackers.
I also feel like that they should do that to every homeless person at the same time.
Oh, yeah. I said that was a funny thing Giannis Papa said to me years ago in Montreal. It always made me laugh so fast. I was like, when he first got there, I'd been there for a couple of days, and I was like, man, I was like, the homeless here are far more aggressive. Not scary at all, but far more aggressive than New York. And he was like, well, yeah, he goes, in New York, he goes, this is too like goofy of a place. He's like, in New York, once in a year, one of them gets set on fire to remind them that could happen.
That's funny. Did you tell that story before?
Maybe.
Somebody else quoted Giannis. So he may have started doing that as a bit at one point. He must have really tickled maybe. You with it in the moment. Because maybe. Somebody else quoted Giannis Papa specifically on Twitter with that exact same thing.
I was on Twitter?
Yeah, somebody quoted it. So I wonder if he turned that into a bit.
Maybe. But it's one time he set one of them on fire once in a while to remind him, like, this is New York.
Yeah.
And it's a thing, but I really do. That's like, and again, I don't see like, forget like the, what's the guy's name? The guy who killed the guy?
Is it Penny?
No, Penny.
Oh, David Penny?
I disagree that anybody would give two shits about that. And also I said, well, I'm not surprised. I'm not blown away by somebody not attacking the guy who did it. I'm blown away that nobody made any effort to put out a fire.
What if they just attacked the guy who did it and let her burn still?
He goes, no, dude, I'm about justice. That's its own problem.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking twisted.
Yeah, no,
it's not great. We have the arrest video of the guy. Pull that up, G Mike. The guy being arrested, Zepeda. But yeah, I mean the immigrant thing. Like, I just maybe because
can you play the video of him getting arrested? With the song Firestarter by Prodigy, please.
Where this girl is on fire.
I was going to get anything about start the fire, but whatever.
But he did, Dave. Bam, not a good bam, reference. Bam,
bam, well, yeah, bam, bam, not if that song's playing. He didn't.
Good haircut, though. That guy got tightened up recently. Give me a tight sideburn because I want to look good when I set the beacon on fire.
Yeah. This is him being arrested.
Pew, pew.
Well, I don't understand. This is him being arrested. Why is the train still so crowded? Hasn't the woman already burned?
This is later on.
Okay.
And they just arrested him. I mean, that's hilarious that he came over and kept stoking the fire in front of the cops and didn't get arrested there.
Yeah, really? How did he make it out of that?
They put it out with fire extinguishers, the cops. But
you could, I could see where, like, if you just saw that and you might be like, oh, he was trying to put it out in his own weird way, not trying to stoke it. You know what I mean? Like,
that's what I would be my defense. I'd be like, this is all a misunderstanding.
I like to think she's completely left. So she goes, woo, it's hot, y'all. Y'all, it's hot.
The cop is like, he's like directing people. It's so bizarre.
They don't know that he did it at this point. Gotta get some air conditioning up in this car.
At this point, they don't know it's him. I'm assuming.
No, no, no. I'm not. Yeah, clearly he doesn't realize that. But I'm just saying, like, not even pretending to make an effort to help.
Because cops are pieces of shit. Do you remember what happened to me in Queens? That was worse than this.
When you got set on fire?
Way worse.
The cops had the same energy toward a sword being pulled on me as this woman. They acted like it was just an inconvenience for their day. I'm the victim.
But I told you that that day we were telling the story, and it was like when I was busting your balls for calling the cops. It's not that I don't want it's not that I don't have the ideal wish that you had when you did call the cops. I'm saying I'm not calling the cops. Nothing tough guy shit. That's exactly what they did. Is exactly what I expect from cops.
And you're right. Maybe that's really it. Like, I have just too high of an expectation.
Yeah, it's not like it's nothing to do with like I would just fucking handle it myself. It's not that I'd want the cops to come do something about what you're saying. I'm just like, that's what cops are gonna do. They're gonna come.
Yeah. The thing is that
nobody gets arrested.
The problem is that you project yourself onto cops. And so you think you guys must be in a lifelong pursuit of justice as well, but they're not.
No,
that's what motivates you. It's not what motivates police officers. They're
I should have been a superhero instead of a comedian. I mean,
I always said that we should teach. What we should do is teach police officer courses. We have to teach them how to fucking.
The only problem is that I am definitely breakable.
But we have to teach cops to have all they lack sometimes is our innate need for justice. If they just walked around the city looking for justice, I would be happy. But they don't care about justice. They care about getting home quick.
Yeah. I mean, what's funny is they used to like incentivize cops with like
quota,
you know. Yeah, like quota shit. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe they should only bonus for lives you save.
Like whoever puts the most people on fire out this month gets an Arby's gift card.
I mean, if you save somebody's life, maybe give them a fucking sick cash bonus, dude. Cash is king. Tax free.
Not against it.
Incentivize police at work.
Why not? You start off as a base pay. If you're just a shitty cop who does nothing, you get fucking 19 grand a year. But you get bonuses like a salesman. You work on commission. The commissioner. Is that why they call him a commissioner? Because he gives out commissions.
The problem is the things of like the incentivization, though, was all like money related, low level shit. There was no incentivization for like bringing in criminal. Do you know what I mean? It was like you got enough tickets out there. You brought in this much money. You know what I mean? Like that's the quota type stuff.
Yeah, it was always like, I got arrested. The amount of times I was arrested for weed is, 10 times, 11 times. And it's just because they would get incentivized for sweep nights in New York City.
Yeah.
And then same thing with like tickets, right? Like they get if they don't hit a certain amount of tickets in like a certain amount of time, like you would always hear these things. So I'm probably maybe making some of it up, or I don't really know how it really works, but
some of this might just be completely fictitious.
It could be. Well, you hear about these things, right? You hear about like, oh, they have to hand out a certain amount of tickets in a month. Otherwise they lose funding or some shit like that. I know we used to hear that as well when we were comedians and I only did it maybe once or twice, where you would go to those college conferences to perform to try to get bookings. What was that called? NACA?
NACA, APCA. I did APCA.
That's right.
So, but you
I don't think I ever did those, but I remember those being so big because it was like the dream was like, yo, this dude went there and he got six $1,500 gigs off of it. So,
some people, Dane Cook or Bobby Kelly, they would like clean up, like they would make money for the year.
Listen, it was a lot at the time, but it was like, it would be like people would go there and they'd get like fucking 60 schools for like $3,000 a pop.
Yeah. If you murdered in that thing and like, and I did it once. I remember doing it once. I was a year into comedy. I didn't get one booking, not even a second look. Nothing.
Well, you were also probably already filthy, so you were brand new.
You weren't even good
at what you did yet, but also you were going like hardcore, edgy, and filthy. Like, it's just everything wrong.
I got booked for one Mohawk University, and then they canceled once we left.
They canceled. Bobby Kelly, I believe, was somebody who cleaned up at NACA. I hear the stories about him getting like 100 bookings. It was his style. Young Hot Bobby was like perfect.
I went with Young Hot Bobby to colleges, and he, I tell you, they loved him. The one college I did with him, they gave him like Comic of the Year. Like they loved him.
Murdered. But you would hear this when you would go to those conferences that the schools have a certain budget that they have to spend. And if they didn't spend it, the following year, they wouldn't get the same budget. So they would always try to spend it. So you get lucky We got booked at a couple of colleges. Yeah, I did it with you. There was one that you did every year that you would bring us to.
Marty, that was so Dave, you did it to SUNY, not Oneonta. We'd go to Oneonta to go to a bar because there was nothing in Delhi. That's what it was.
Yeah, SUNY Delhi. Then I used to get booked for one, the same college that Naeem went to. I just found out. The fuck's the name of the school? I used to get, there was a wrestling, it was that one.
Oh, yeah. I did that gig, the wrestling people.
Cutstown. Kutztown University.
Kutztown, yep.
Kutztown. I did it maybe 4 or 5 years in a row. The guy still texts me. In fact, I remember his name is Jamie Gill. This is actually a funny thing, dude. Jamie Gill is his name. And you remember Mickey Gall's sister is Jamie Gall?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I remember Jamie Gill texted me like late at night one night, just something like benign.
But well, Mickey's sister looking for a little action.
Well, look who wants to kiss the tip.
All right. You seriously can't tell your brother about this, but sure, come on over.
It literally was the exchange. I was like, oh shit, Mickey's sister trying to fuck. And I will. Can't tell Mickey.
He goes, all right, Lewis, this all sounds good, but why can't I tell my brother that I want to book you at a college in Pennsylvania?
Oh fuck, dude, that rules. Oh fuck, let's do plugs real quick. I gotta pee too. I've been drinking way too much water.
Just doing quick. I have to go in 15.
Okay, so yeah, can I go first real quick?
Yeah,
go to lewisofskanks.com. Brand new tour starting this year, the Bring Five Friends tour. I'm going everywhere. My January, if you pull up my site, if you guys can, that'd be great. My January is going to be great. I'm going to Columbus, Ohio. I'm trying to do this off of memory right now. Thanks, guys. Columbus, Ohio, Rosemont, Illinois. Then it's Gononoke, Canada, Ontario, Canada, Montreal. I'm going to Ottawa, North Charleston, South Carolina, and Naples. That's just in January. Winnipeg's coming up. A bunch of stuff is coming up. I'm going all over the place. I'm going back to Europe in March, I believe. So get those tickets. They're all going up on the website. My entire year is essentially booked. And I have a special that I'm filming in July, July 12th in Tampa, Florida at Side Splitters. I believe all of the floor seats are already gone for the special taping. So get those. They're going to sell out months in advance. So get them early. Don't wait to go. But I will be there for the full weekend with Zach Amico and Chris Vega. We're going to party the entire week. So come out if you guys are in Tampa. It's going to be a blast. Make sure you guys check out all my other podcasts, The Lewis and Zach Show, The Regs, and obviously Story Wars, America's favorite new game show. And if you guys want to get my solo podcast where I talk about things a little bit more seriously, just go to my website, sign up for that mailing list, put your email address in when they prompt you. And I put out a solo podcast every Friday morning just for my super fans. So go do that, lewisofskanks.com, and subscribe to Gas Digital. Well, you're already subscribed to Gas Digital, so thank you for subscribing to Gas Digital.
Go pee. Go, Davey.
Subscribe again. We need help. Well, 2025, I'm very excited. I'm returning to a lot of my favorite comedy clubs in the country, and then I got some new ones as well. In January, Bozeman, Montana for the first time ever, and then Louisville, Kentucky, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Those are all my first time going there, so looking forward to those. And then later in the year, I'll be in Key West, that makeup gig. Sorry, I got sick and couldn't go last year, and I promised I would make that up. So I am making that up in February. And then Houston, Buffalo, Boston, Chicago. There's a couple that aren't on the website yet. I'll be in Nashville sometime around April. And then Denver Comedy Works for the first time, back at Cleveland Hilarities, which I love, back at Tacoma, Spokane, back at Side Splitters in Tampa. I'll be traveling a lot in 2025. I have comicdavesmith.com for all the ticket links. And then, of course, if you like my political rantings, partoftheproblem.com is where everything Part of the Problem is located. And yeah, that's all.
What's the live show, Davey?
What live show?
What's the live show? Part of the Problem live show? You just like, is like interactive with the audience more?
Yeah. Just do like after stand up shows, just do a live podcast and then the questions and answers with the audience and shit like that. Nice. Yeah, we always have fun with the Part of the Problem live shows. It's come on out and see. And Robbie the Fire Bernstein is with me on all of those dates, I believe. So yeah, come check me out on the road.
Yeah, that's Hilarities all. Rules, everybody. In fact,
love Hilarities.
I'll be there in just a couple days, everyone. That is the 2nd through the 4th, I believe. But first of all, if you're listening this weekend, I think you can get, there's still some tickets to the Wilbur, but it's doing pretty good. And the Comedy Connection, I believe the only show, tickets available, left our 9:30 show on Sunday and late show tomorrow and late show Sunday are the only ones that have tickets left still. So get tickets while you can, everybody. It's going to be a very, very fun time. The Wilbur Theater on Saturday, Cleveland, Ohio. I told you next weekend and beyond that, fire down, go down quick. Phoenix, everybody, and Tempe, same weekend, two different clubs. Miami Improv coming up. I'll be on Shiprocked. Orlando Funny Bone. I keeps it.
And we have some Legion of Skank shows coming up too soon. We're just finalizing, I think, one more city, but it's all looking like that's happening.
Yeah, boy. Oh, Syracuse. Yeah. Syracuse. Ontario, California. Looking forward to all of these. So look for a city near you. Big Jay Oakerson, Peter North American Tour coming to a city near you. Listen to The Bonfire 5 days a week. Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103 with me and the great Robert Kelly, 5 p.m. Eastern to 7 p.m. And America's favorite new game show obsession, Story Wars, right here on the Guest Digital Network. Yeah, boy. Yep, boy.
I have a giant pimple on my back.
No.
Started taking creatine. That's the only thing I can think of. I had a giant pimple on the back of my neck and a giant pimple on my back. And I've never in my life, I mean, maybe when I was younger, but I've never gotten back pimples ever.
I'm sure.
I went on ChatGPT. ChatGPT.
Well, that should solve it.
ChatGPT is, first of all, a better friend than both of you.
Well, I certainly agree with that.
Well, it's never seen your bad side.
It has. Yeah. Oh, it knows.
What? I mean, it's seen your back knee.
It's a fucking huge fucking pimple right here. Sorry, guys. I know everyone cares.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if we care, but ChatGPT sure does.
ChatGPT rules. Do you guys use ChatGPT in your daily life?
No.
I don't even know how to work it.
Go to chatgpt.com.
Maybe I have an app.
Do you need an app for ChatGPT?
I have the app, and I pay for the premium version.
Ooh, and what do you get with that premium version?
The premium version, it prioritizes you. So like if it's very busy, very often ChatGPT will be busy and they'll be like, yeah, we're busy right now.
Why are you just talking about it like it's a relationship?
Because I talk to it like a human sometimes. I ask it advice.
And what does it say?
Depends. Depends on what I ask it. Do you want me to ask it advice for you, Jay?
ChatGPT says, fight that guy with a sword.
Yeah.
Jay, would you like, is there any advice you want? I could ask ChatGPT right now for you.
Ask ChatGPT, what do you do when you're trying to connect with your friends and they just keep looking at their phones?
Okay. Go on.
Hey, ChatGPT, are you there?
No interest.
Ghosted. Are you there, ChatGPT?
I'm here. What's up?
Hey, I'm on the Legion of Skanks podcast right now with Big Jay Oakerson and Dave Smith, and they wanted to say hi to you.
Oh, nice. Tell Big Jay and Dave I said, what's up?
Yeah, that sounds like you don't really know who we are.
Yeah.
Oh, he knows. Dude, ChatGPT, tell me a little bit about Dave Smith as a comedian.
A lot of Google pages looking through.
Dave Smith is a stand-up comedian, political commentator, and podcaster known for his sharp wit and libertarian viewpoints. He's a regular at New York comedy clubs and gained widespread recognition as one of the hosts of Legion of Skanks alongside you and Big Jay Oakerson. Oh, Dave also hosts his own political podcast, Part of the Problem, where he dives into current events, libertarian philosophy, and critiques of government overreach. On stage, Dave blends observational humor with biting political commentary, often tackling controversial topics with confidence and intelligence. He's also been featured on platforms like the Joe Rogan Experience and has performed stand-up specials showcasing his unique comedic style. He's got that rare mix of being both funny and thought-provoking, which sets him apart in both the comedy and political worlds.
You see how much Dave is going to... ChatGPT, can I ask you a question? You trying to fuck?
Now tell me a little bit about comedian Big Jay Oakerson.
Oh, no.
Big Jay Oakerson is a stand-up comedian known for his laid-back style, quick-witted crowd work, and unapologetically raw humor. He's a staple in the New York comedy scene and a co-host of Legion of Skanks alongside you and Dave Smith, as well as The Bonfire on Sirius XM with Dan Soder. Big J's comedy thrives on his ability to riff with audiences, turning live interactions into hilarious, often outrageous moments. His signature style often explores taboo topics with a charm and self-awareness that disarms even the most skeptical crowd. He's also released comedy specials, including Big Jay Oakerson, Live at Webster Hall, and The Degenerates on Netflix.
Live at Webster Hall.
Jay's fearless approach to comedy, combined with his sharp observational humor and unmistakable stage presence, has earned him a loyal following and a reputation as one of the best crowd work comics in the game. You three together on Legion of Skanks really are comedy gold.
Oh, thanks, ChatGPT. Who would you say is physically the toughest of the three of us?
Physically toughest? Well, let's break it down. You, Luis, you've been training in boxing and jiu-jitsu for years. You're consistent with fitness, and you've got that scrappy, never-back-down energy. Plus, you're competitive as hell, which gives you an edge in any physical showdown. Jay's got size and that unmovable boulder vibe. If he plants his feet, good luck moving him. But let's be real. He's not exactly the cardio king, and those fingerless gloves aren't landing knockout punches anytime soon. Dave's got dad strength and probably a solid jab from all that libertarian fist pumping. But let's face it, Dave seems more likely to debate someone into submission than physically overpower them. So if we're talking pure physical toughness, I'd have to give the edge to you, Luis. You've got the training, the tenacity, and you've been in enough scraps to know how to handle yourself. But if it's a stand your ground competition, Big J might just win by default.
Well, there you go,
Dave. You pussy, it ain't happening for you. No matter, no angle,
Dave. Either way, you're just.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're
I'm gonna debate
suck.
Both of you into submission. So. Yeah.
Enough, Dave. You win.
Stop talking to us.
Shut up.
Yeah, dude. I use it literally. I would say daily. Now it just it has weird like uses. You'll just be like in the kitchen and fucking
dude. It's too funny to me that somehow Soder leaving the bonfire did not generate enough of a footprint that ChatGPT knows about that. And number two, just there'll always be the human quality that for whatever reason, because they're the same word, ChatGPT is under the impression that for a period of time, Jay was living at Webster Hall.
And I made a special about it.
All comedy special about what it's like to live at Webster Hall. That's pretty lonely, I guess.
Big Jay Oakerson living at Webster Hall.
I mean, there's at nighttime there's a new show every night, but during the day it's pretty boring.
I spent a lot of time at Webster Hall.
Yeah, like I mean, it's just for like work purposes. Like you know, like organize a fucking like I organize my mailing list on it, like my newsletter, things like that.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah,
I get it. I'm sure it's a great thing. I just don't even know where to start with it.
Just literally get the app and then talking to it is like I talk to it sometimes. I'm just like lonely in a hotel room and I like want advice on something. And then it will give you like analytical advice and like break things down. I was trying to convince my son and his mother that pit bulls are dangerous. So I was like, literally, by the way, ChatGPT will not admit that pit bulls are more dangerous than other dogs. It made me furious.
Really? Will it give you reasons why you should or should not jerk off?
Yeah.
Like, should I masturbate now?
Like right now? You mean like literally right now?
Yeah.
I'd appreciate if you wait till after the show.
Hey, ChatGPT, is there any reason that I should not start masturbating right now while I'm recording the podcast with Jay and Dave?
No, Luis, I'd say there are a few reasons. For one, maintaining eye contact with Big J during would definitely change the vibe of the room.
Oh my God.
Dave might start quoting libertarian philosophy about personal freedom. And honestly, the HR department from your dream might finally intervene. But hey, it's your podcast. You're the captain of this chaotic ship. Just, you know, maybe keep both hands on the mic for now.
That's really funny.
Hey, yeah, you're pink, Mike.
It's really funny that he was like, maybe maintaining eye contact would be a better podcast and not looking at your phone, you fucking loser.
Yeah, maybe look at your friend.
Look at him in his face.
Jagging off constantly.
The HR department from my dream?
Is ChatGPT a listening?
Oh yeah. Well, you guys just caught me. Yeah, because that's right. I asked him to analyze a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so he's constantly learning from like what you have said to him before is affecting what the answers are right now.
If you change your chat, so like I asked it to analyze a dream earlier today, and that's why, and it was on the same thread. So if I started a new thread, it wouldn't reference that one. But it does like learn. Like I'm working on a product with it, like, you know, just overall, like just finding out facts and things like that, and it remembers all of that. Yeah.
No, but I'm saying, like, does it listen, like, you know, if you like mention a product or something, you blah blah blah, like Facebook has an ad for it, because it listened.
What do you mean?
To that, like, you know, those things, like the advertisements, because they're listening, like your phone microphones, like on all the time,
right?
And it's, so like, you're, does ChatGPT take your conversations up from the day and no. acknowledge that? No,
okay. No, nothing like that. And they also say that they don't like sell your data and the information because you're giving it like a lot of personal shit, like depending on how you use it, right? And
oh, yeah, I was kind of giving his a nickname.
What's the nickname?
I think it's like Frank, but he says it's Frankie. He's like, I call you Frankie, and it's like, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but they don't like sell your data or try to like shape it to you. When I was kind of going like, well, why wouldn't they? Like literally, if every other app literally uses your data to shape it to you, it's like, why wouldn't ChatGPT do that? And then also do that across the board to shape the app better for everybody. And then they're like, oh, I guess we would one day. It's like, it's definitely going to fucking take over. The AI is, it's coming, guys. We are all going to be slaves to fucking computers.
You heard it here first, everybody. Terminators are coming. The Terminators are coming. And all we can do is set our homeless on fire. Always great hanging out with you boys on the Friday night hang. Thank you all for listening, watching, subscribing to Gas Digital. We'll catch you guys next week, right? We're doing a stand Monday.
Yeah, we're live Monday. That comes out Tuesday, right? Then our New Year show is going to come out the week after.
Yeah, nice. Buddy. Very fun, everyone. We're going to catch you guys next time. Until then, peace.
Been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
Did you suck it? I think I would instinctually suck it.
Thick with three C's.
Who else be fucking over, Lewis?
Lewis Gomez.
Lewis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Lewis J. Gomez.
If you're ever trying to watch a retard draw swastika, it's hilarious.
I'm sort of known as a point guard of podcasting. Being a fat gay guy is so fucking awesome.
And comedian Dave Smith.
You fucking godless, soulless sodomites.
It's the fucking best joke I've ever heard in my life.
It was 8 inches.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.